You're listening to a Word About God podcast.
Everybody, to another episode of the Word About God podcast. My name is Nate Peterson, and I will be your guide through our very unprofessional theological discourses. So unprofessional, I'm sitting on my couch and drinking coffee and hanging out in my sweatpants, and we're just going to be talking about stuff. So if you are new to the A Word About God podcast, this is where we come and we discuss theological topics. And when I say we discuss, I mean that I discuss. and I talk about things that, you know, have to do with God. A Word About God basically is just the most basic definition of theology. We're talking about God, things of God, you know, thinking about it, talking about it, just theology at its basest form, which, as we've talked about before here on the podcast, is something we all do. We all think about God in some way, shape, or form, and so that's what we're just doing here. This is just me thinking out loud about some of these things of God. And so at the moment, it is April here in Montana, and we've had some glimpses of sunshine outside. We've had a couple of warm days here and there, not nearly enough, and it makes me miserable, but that's okay. Like, we had a couple days ago, like, I was talking with my kids in the car the other day, and we were talking about, you know, it was 56 degrees outside, and my youngest, Jack, was like, it can't be 56 degrees outside, it's so warm. But the difference was the sun was out, and we were talking about how, you know, 56 degrees in Montana can feel really warm. Like, we were driving around with the windows down, and, you know, t-shirts and shorts, and, you know, we're like, 56 degrees, that's warm, but because the sun was out. 56 degrees when the sun is hidden behind clouds, I have my snowboarding coat on. I have snow pants on because it's freezing. All right, so this is definitely the time of year where I'm tired of being cold, but I'm going to try not to complain about it too much. But anyways, what's going on in life as well is I actually, last week, I turned in my very last paper for my master's degree at Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary, and yesterday I filled out my final evaluation form, so it's done, which is crazy. It's done. My everything I need for my degree is done. Now, you know, as long as I don't absolutely bomb that final paper in my class, I will be graduating. So we've got my family and I, we've got our flights booked. We're going to be headed to Charlotte, North Carolina in a couple of weeks, where I'll go through the graduation ceremony, which I wasn't really sure I wanted to do. I'm not really one that's big on ceremony, I guess. And I'm also, you know, as I've discussed here on the podcast, I have incredibly low self-esteem sometimes. I am very self-deprecating sometimes. And a lot of times I just don't think that, like, I just don't want anybody to make a fuss. Like, my wife is here, like, just so kind and excited about all of it, you know, and booking restaurant reservations to celebrate and planning the whole thing out and things like that. And I just, like, I feel so humbled and weird by all of it because I don't like people making a big deal out of it, but it is a big deal. And I did want to stop and just say something about it. This isn't about me necessarily graduating, but I do want to stop and thank you as a listener of the A Word About God podcast. And I know it's cliche to say, you know, the phrase, I wouldn't be here without you, but I literally wouldn't, because this podcast and the people that listen to it and the people that have financially supported this A Word About God ministry literally have played a major factor in me graduating from seminary. When my family and I first, or when I first started this podcast, first started this ministry, we were still living in Hawaii. We were working in ministry. Our finances, in large part, were support-based, and you supported us in that. And, you know, since then we've moved back to Montana, and I've, you know, we both have, you know, regular 40-hour-a-week jobs. But this ministry has still, you know, there's still been financial support from this ministry and people who have done that. So I really appreciate you guys. I really, really do. When we first moved back to Montana, it was through the support of this ministry that allowed me to get a good head start on school. And I didn't have to fully, you know, I didn't have to find a job full time for a while and was able to focus on school and work on this ministry and be financially supported through that. So all that to say is thank you. Thank you to those of you who have listened. I got a message from Jonah, my good buddy Jonah, the other day. I'm giving him a shout out. He, you know, was talking about how he was sharing the podcast with somebody that had questions about Catholicism. And that's really where it's at for me. Like when I get those messages and those emails, and I do get them, so keep them coming. It's really encouraging to hear that. When I get those messages that, hey, like, this is great, I actually shared this with a friend of mine who's been asking these questions, or I shared this with like my small group or whatever it is, I really appreciate that. That to me is where it's at, even more so than the financial support. Like if I keep getting even just like one email or one text message or whatever it is, or one, you know, DM on Instagram or something that says like, hey, I shared this with a friend of mine, or this really touched me, or whatever, that's why I want to keep doing this. Because that's, you know, and a while back, you know, not to keep going back to the whole episode about, you know, depression and anxiety that I put out a while back, but just knowing that there are people out there that feel the same way that you do is great. Because some days it's like, I'm just talking to myself here, you know, into a microphone and just, you know, reverberating the thoughts that are bouncing around in my head. But to actually hear from people who say that, hey, like I've been thinking the same thing, or I've experienced the same thing, or I feel the same thing, then that's really cool for me. Or they were able to find somebody that's going through the same thing or thinks the same way or has been asking that question or whatever. So you all get to enjoy hearing the microphone, me sniffling. Our family has been through the ringer when it comes to sicknesses. We all had this like this cold that was going around for a while. And then everybody, my kids, my wife and I, we all just like were puking our guts out a week ago. So I'm sure you all wanted to hear this. Like I said, this is not a very professional theological podcast. You also get to hear me slurp my coffee, just being real with you guys. Okay. There is something I want to talk about today, and this is something that's been rattling around in my brain. And I know, I think it was in the last podcast, I said I no longer want to be just the podcast that like throws shots at other ministries and things like that. This isn't necessarily that. This isn't necessarily going to be like a like the irritating reformed guy saying like everyone else is doing it wrong. That's not it. This is kind of more just a I guess a critique of just the way, just like the state of the American church in general. And some of the things that I'm going to be highlighting here, I think, are just symptoms of this, just this all around weirdness with church right now. And I know that there's going to be some people that hear this that aren't going to like it. They're not going to, you know, they're not going to agree. They're not, you know, and that's fine. I would love to get some feedback from people, see if they agree, they disagree, if they're going through something similar, or they have similar concerns, or, you know, they think I'm just way off in left field and I need to, you know, shut up. But there's just this general sense of weirdness that I've been picking up with church lately. And you know, I will be honest, going into this episode, I am a little bit, not necessarily biased, I guess, maybe biased is the word, but I'm coming into this right now at a period in my life where my family and I have a lot of hurt when it comes to church. You know, we're in a season of life right now where we have transitioned out of, you know, working in church ministry, something that we've been doing for like 10 years. I mean, a full decade or something like that. I mean, maybe even longer. I mean, as soon as I graduated from high school, which was 2007, I immediately jumped into like volunteer youth ministry. So that was 2007. It's 2022 now. So that's like 15 years, something like that. Yeah. They got to think through it. Yeah. 15 years or something like that, that I've been involved in church ministry. And then of course, like, you know, when Jan and I first got married in 2008, yeah, just right out of high school, for those of you that want to laugh, we got married in 2008, and we both, I think, you know, were involved to some degree with church ministry right away. So we've been involved in church ministry. So it's been longer than 10 years, all right? Like 14, 15 years for both of us being involved in some sort of capacity in church ministry, whether it's volunteer ministry or it's actual paid positions. We've been involved in church ministry for, you know, almost, you know, for a decade and a half or so. And so we're not involved in church ministry right now. And I'll be honest, you know, in this podcast, a large part of that is we have seen, I mean, when I tell you we've seen the ugliest side of church ministry, we have seen the ugliest, ugliest side of church ministry. I mean, we have been behind the curtain, and it's not just, you know, like, I mean, we've had some terrible, terrible experiences. And even like while we were in the midst of terrible experiences, we didn't realize it was a terrible experience because we thought it was normal for church. I mean, some of the emotional, physical abuse that we have been through as a family, when it comes to church ministry, we put up with a lot of it because we thought it was normal. All right. Or we had, you know, whether it was different ministries or pastors convincing us like, this is the way it needs to be. This is what you need to be doing. This is, you know, whatever it was, we've seen the worst. I mean, without going into detail, just trust me when I say we've seen the worst of church ministry. Like I can't imagine it gets much worse than what we've seen. And again, you'll just have to take my word for it because I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail, but my family is coming out of this season of abuse, really. It's been abuse, in the church. And so we're in this strange place right now where we are, and just, you know, before I get into this today, just kind of tell you where I'm coming from in a lot of this, and what I'm going to be kind of talking about today. But, you know, so we're coming out of this place. So at the moment we're hyper, hyper, hyper aware of problems in church. Now, this isn't to say that my wife and I have given up on church. We haven't, or given up on our faith. We haven't, you know, of course not. The thing is, it's just we've come out of this abusive situation in church. And now, like, we look around, like, okay, well, let's go somewhere else. But now we've got all these red flags everywhere we go, everywhere we turn, everything we look at, we see these red flags. And we're kind of in a spot where we're like, we don't want to ignore these red flags because we've ignored red flags for so long. And that's part of what got us to the point where we're at right now. So we've ignored a lot of red flags, and, you know, because we've just been told, well, this is just the way ministry is, or this is, you just have to put up with it, or whatever, you know. So that's kind of where we're at right now. So we're just hyper aware and hyper protective of our family. Okay. So there's been, I mean, literally there have been, I mean, like, whether intention, some of it has been unintentional, some of it has been intentional. I mean, we've had church leaders who have intentionally tried to destroy our family. So, I mean, again, I know people are gonna be like, what is this guy talking about? And I'm not gonna go into all those details, but there's been, I mean, so we're coming out of a place where there's been church leaders who have intentionally tried to destroy our family. So, it's come out of this situation where, you know, church, it's run by these narcissistic, tyrannical leaders who have no accountability, who have surrounded themselves by yes men, and who in a lot of situations don't have any actual real life skills, but they're friendly, they're charismatic, they're, you know, they're popular, they can at least speak well, or they're cool, or they're trendy, or whatever it is. And so they get placed into these positions of power in church because in the American church, that's kind of become the qualifications now. It's not so much like, you know, have you gone through any sort of training? Are you, you know, actually equipped with gifts of the Spirit? It's just, are you cool? Are you trendy? Can you speak well? Can you bring in a crowd? Like, that's kind of the thing. And so a lot of times, these people get these positions of power within the church where they wouldn't get positions of power anywhere else in the world, all right, in the business world, corporate world, or whatever, because you can't just go into a business and be like, I'm cool, and, like, you know, be put in charge of the entire business. But we've got these, you know, these men that are being put in charge of an entire church simply because they're cool or they're trendy, or they can speak well, but they, you know, have no, whether it's, you know, school qualifications or actual, like, you know, ministry qualifications or character qualifications or anything like that. We're just like, we're cool, and we're just setting the church up for disaster. So that's kind of where we're coming out of. And so it's just, I think I'm just in this place right now where it comes to church, where I'm just like, what are we doing with church? Like, you know, we've got these terrible situations. I haven't watched, there's that documentary out on, I think, the Discovery Channel about Hillsong. I haven't watched it. I haven't even looked into what it's about. I could probably guess what it's about. Like, my guess is it's, you know, it's pastors who, I mean, I know, what's his name? Lentz, Carl Lentz, you know, from Hillsong in New York. He had an affair. You know, I'm sure this whole documentary with Hillsong, I'm sure it's about affairs. I'm sure it's about abuse towards women. I'm sure that's what it is, you know, because that's what it always is when it comes to. So it's like, why is this stuff so prevalent in our churches? Like, what are we doing in churches? Why is it that we have so many corrupt pastors? Like, why is it that we have so much abuse towards women? Why is it that we have so many underqualified people being placed in charge of churches, all right? Why do we have this? Why do we, it's just, there's just such a weird thing going on with church in America right now. And the whole thing that really triggered this for me, and this is like this term that I use now, it's this whole term of like billboard Christianity, all right? Billboard Christianity. Right now in my town, there's at least three, I think maybe four churches in this town that have billboards up in town. Like, they put billboards up to advertise for their church. And, you know, at first glance, someone would be like, well, what's the big deal? Like, who cares? I mean, really, it's not like they're doing anything theologically wrong or sinful putting up billboards. But I just, like, it like gives me this weird headache when I see billboards up for churches, because it brings that question in background. It's like, what are we doing? Like, what, I know you're putting a billboard up and advertising for a church, but also, what are you doing? Like, why are we putting billboards? Why are we advertising church anyways? Maybe it's not so much billboards. It's, why are we advertising for church? But that's just, I mean, that's what it's become. Church has, you know, why does a business, okay, like most of the other billboards in town are like for banks and lawyers or something like that. You know, so why does a bank, why does a lawyer, why does, you know, why does Party America, why do they put billboards up? They put billboards up because they want customers, and they want customers so that they can get money so that they can continue their business. All right. Billboard is an advertising strategy. Advertising strategies are things that you do with a business. So church has kind of become this business now. And so there's all these billboards up, and I love it. There's part of me that loves it, because I know, like, I know too much about a lot of the churches here in my town. And it's so funny to me, because like, there's a couple of the churches that have put billboards up that I know are so diametrically opposed to each other and are so on opposite ends of the theological spectrum and like can't stand each other, and they both have billboards up, and it's like you like both of them have, like, part of who they've made themselves to be is like, we're not this church and we're not this church, but you're still the same church, you're still doing the same thing, you have the same advertising strategies, you have, like, everything is the same. Like, it's so funny to me that, you know, whether it's denominations or just, you know, non-denominational churches that just don't like each other, they'll be like, oh yeah, this church sucks, and this pastor is this pastor is legalistic, or this pastor is liberal, and this pastor is reformed, or this pastor is Arminian, and they're blah 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 blah, they're this, and we're not like those guys. And yet every single Sunday, I almost guarantee every single Sunday, they're like, you know, thinking they're so different, but every single Sunday, both of those churches will have three worship songs to kick off their service. They'll have announcements, they'll have an offering, right? They'll have a three-point sermon, and then the worship team will come up after the service and do a closing song. And everything is the same. Like, maybe one church is going to play trendy, popular Christian music during their songs, right? And the other church is just going to do hymns. And maybe one pastor is going to have a liberal, you know, theologically liberal sermon, and the other pastor is going to have a theologically conservative sermon, but it doesn't matter. Like, the songs might be different, well, the words that you're preaching might be different, but you're still still the same. Like, sorry to break it to you, but you're both exactly the same. You're both putting up billboards. You're both pushing a theological, political, societal agenda that you have, and you're both led by one guy at the top who's making all these decisions for everybody and who's pulling all the strings and who's running the entire show. You're exactly the same. It's billboard Christianity. You're just, there's no difference between the two of them. And I think that's been the crazy thing, as I, for a long time, I've been so caught up in just the church world and have had really no, for a long time, I've really had no existence, sort of existence, in the world outside of church. And so, and what I mean by that is, for years and years, like I said, like, it's been a long time since I've had a job that isn't a church job, all right, or a ministry job. Like, my family and I, we did mission stuff. We worked with Youth with a Mission, which is, you know, a Christian organization. And then I worked with, you know, I was in church ministry for years and years and years. And finally, my wife and I are both in this point, and I'm not saying, like, this is where you should strive to be, but maybe you should if you're, like, in a weird spot in life when it comes to church. But my wife and I are in this place now where she manages a restaurant, all right? I'm working right now with a startup company, all right? I work from home now. And neither of us are working in a Christian environment. Like, we have Christian, or we have coworkers that are not Christians, all right? We've got coworkers that come from all different religious backgrounds, sexually oriented backgrounds, family backgrounds, like, cultural backgrounds. I mean, I'm working with people that are from all over the world. We're all working online, you know? Like, so it's just, and I love it. I love it, man. I love, and I'm not, no, someone's gonna be like, you're gonna be infected by the world. Like, that's not what this is. But sometimes you have to step aside from church and the church world, at least for just a time, to realize how messed up and weird it gets sometimes. Like, the church world is so weird. And I think the whole billboard thing is just, it's evidence that as a church, or a church as a whole, we're so disconnected from the world because it's billboards. Like, who, like I said, it's like banks and lawyers and Party America that has billboards in our town. Like, I don't, like, there's the, and that's, again, like, the billboards, it's symptomatic of this deeper thing. Like, not only are we just so caught up in fighting with each other, and not only have we turned church into a business where we need to advertise to bring people in, and that's really what we're doing, it's just, like, what, like, billboards are such a weird thing. Like, to me, it just proves this disconnect that we have with society. And church has done this in a lot of different ways. Like, for a long time, you know, that there were certain things that the church wouldn't talk about. It was taboo. It was bad to talk about it. Okay, two examples here. Drinking alcohol and sex. Like, those are two things for a long time the church wouldn't talk about, right? Or they would, you know, they would forbid alcohol, or, you know, they wouldn't want to talk about sex at all whatsoever. So when it comes to alcohol, all of a sudden, you know, in the last, however, you know, 10, 15, 20 years or something like that in the church, like, all of a sudden Christians have discovered, hey, it's okay for me to drink alcohol, which it is. It's fine. It's not a sin, right? And so, like, now all of a sudden, you know, Christians have been like, oh, I can drink alcohol. So this taboo subject, which for so long Christians wouldn't talk about, or this taboo thing, alcohol, that they just wouldn't touch, now all of a sudden they're so weird about it. Like, have you ever met that Christian that, like, has recently discovered it's okay for them to drink, and it's all they talk about? Like, that's the joke about, like, you know, Christian hipsters, like, let's go get some microbrews. Like, let's go to a local brewery. Like, oh, bro, let's talk about craft beers. Like, it's just turned into such a trend, and it's so weird. Like, a while back, I don't know if you guys follow this at all, but whoever runs the Wendy's, all right, Wendy's, like, the burger restaurant, whoever runs the Wendy's Twitter account, does this thing where they're like, okay, you know, send us a message and we'll roast you. So it's like bands and celebrities will be like, okay, roast me, and Wendy's will roast them. Dude, the funniest one, and I've talked about this on the podcast and written a blog about the band Under Oath before, the band that, you know, started off as this Christian, metalcore band, and now they're not Christians and they like to say potty words and things like that. But the funniest one was Under Oath said, okay, roast us. And Wendy said, you remind me of my brother my little brother when he first learned how to cuss. Like, that's what it is. It's like Christians with drinking. It's like, they're so awkward about it. Like, we're so weird about it. It's like, we just discovered it's okay. And we'll just be like, hey, my name's Nate. I enjoy craft IPAs. Oh, do you have something to say about that? How legalistic are you? Oh, let me tell you that it's okay for me. Like, we're so weird about it. Like, if it's so normal and okay, why do we make such a big deal about it? Like, why do we talk about it all the time? Like, why do we be like, oh, hello, I am Nathan, and I am a Christian who enjoys craft beers. Like, it's so weird. And it's the same thing with, it's like Christians finally understood that it's okay to drink beer, but now we're making it weird, right? Like, that's kind of like the billboards. It's like, we finally, like, it's like Christians have decided that we want to advertise, but we're making it weird by getting billboards, right? Same thing with sex. That's the second thing. For so long, the church didn't want to talk about sex, right? But then all of a sudden, we're like, you know what? We're going to be cool and trendy. We'll talk about sex. Oh, I'm not afraid to say it. Oh, am I offending you by saying it? Oh, excuse me, but I just think it's something that we should talk about. Is that we just make it so weird. Like, you know, like that's the joke you see in a lot of memes, like pastors who want to be like, let me talk about how hot my wife is. Like, this whole subject of sex, which used to be taboo, now we're like, well, we can talk about it, but we're so weird about it. Like, and I think I'm going to do a whole podcast episode about, like, the way that the church discusses sex, because not only is it really weird, but there's a lot of really damaging things that the church does when it comes to talking about sex, especially when it comes to the expectations of sex. Like, the church just for so long is like, oh, sex is so awesome. It's so great. Oh man, it's so sweet, man. Like, let's talk about sex and how great it is, which, like, they won't actually talk about, like, sex or the act of sex or anything like that. They'll just talk about it as this vague concept that is just really awesome. Like, when you're married, it's awesome. And it's just a weird thing. And I could have a whole, but it's like the church wouldn't talk about sex. Then all of a sudden, at least they got to the point where they would say the word, but now we're just weird about it. Like, we're just like, nobody talks about sex like Christians talk about sex. And the result, like I said, I think I'll do a whole episode about this, because it's been something that I've been thinking about a lot. But the result is you get a bunch of, like, I don't know what's worse, the generation that grew up in the church where nobody talked about sex and you had to figure that out once you got older, or this generation where, like, youth leaders or whoever, like, people in the church talk about sex, but they're weird about it and give weird and unrealistic expectations about it. I don't know which one is worse. So anyway, so it's like, there's this weird disconnect. Like, the church thinks that it's ministering to the world and it thinks that it understands the world, but it's like all these things, they're just so weird about it. Like, we're weird about advertising, we're weird about sex, we're weird about drinking, like, we're just weird about it. Like, I coming back to the whole idea of billboard Christianity, like, it's just such a weird thing. Billboards are such an outdated thing, you know, even like a lot of times with, like, Christian music. You know, again, another example, it's like, well, we've decided now that, you know, we can use drums and we can use electric guitars, but there's so many Christian bands where the Christian music sounds like Christian music. Like you've taken the first step of realizing that you can use, you know, more than just a piano, but now so much of the Christian music that's out there is just weird. Like, it doesn't resonate with normal people. It doesn't resonate with people out in the world. It's such a niche thing. It's still within the Christian niche. And I think that, again, is just one of the issues. Like, we think we're reaching the world, but we're really just reaching other Christians, right? Like, that's what I want to understand the point of putting a billboard up for your church. And like I said, there's like four churches in town right now, and maybe even more, that have billboards up. And I just want to understand the point. Like, I want to have somebody sit down with me and be like, this is our entire thought strategy from start to finish, right? We sat down at in a meeting and looked at our advertising budget, which is hilarious to me that churches have an advertising budget. Like, that to me, even just the root of, like I said earlier, like, why are we advertising church? Like, should church, I don't know, I mean, maybe I'm wrong about this, but shouldn't church just be there? Like, shouldn't our quote-unquote advertising just be us going out into the world, into normal jobs, and living out like this faithful gospel presence in the world? Shouldn't that be advertising enough? But the fact that we even advertise just shows to me that we're not teaching our church people to do this stuff. It's our whole idea of evangelism has turned into invite your friends to church. That's evangelism. Invite your friends to church. Put a billboard up. Send out flyers. Make an Instagram post. Get a radio commercial. I don't know. Like, I mean, that's another thing that's super outdated is radio commercials, right? Like, who pays money for radio commercials? Anyways, so it's just this weird concept of advertising for church in general. But I want to understand the strategy. Somebody sits down, looks at their advertising, and which I wonder how much it costs. I don't know. Whatever. I won't look it up right now. It's got to be lots of money to get a billboard up for a while. It's got to be a decent chunk of change. And so they sit down. They're like, I think we want to reach more people with the name of our church. And so let's buy billboards, or let's purchase, you know, billboard space, whatever. And, you know, but then it's like, then what? What are you trying to do? And like, who's your target audience? Are you trying to target believers or non-believers? Because I can almost guarantee you, I can almost, like, invite me to your next advertising meeting at church, and I will tell you whether or not you're going to get non-believers to come to church based on your advertising strategies. And I can almost guarantee you, I could have saved you lots of time, hassle, and money if you had invited me to that meeting at your church and said, Nate, will non-believers come to church because we put billboards up? I would very assuredly tell you, nope. Nope. They sure won't. As believers out there, have any of you met somebody who came to church because they saw a billboard up? Like, or any sort of advertising at this point. I don't mean to just like pick on billboards. It's like, any sort of church advertising. Like, again, why are we advertising church? Like, somebody, you know, like Wendy's, the burger joint again. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Wendy's puts out a commercial or a billboard or whatever, and they do so because they want people who would not otherwise go to the restaurant to go to the restaurant, right? And buy their burgers and give them money. That's what they're targeting. And it works, man. Everyone, okay, that's another. I see billboards up for restaurants. And when I see that delicious, juicy burger up there on the billboard, absolutely I want to go there. And a lot of times, I don't really eat fast food. That makes me sound like, you know, such an elitist. But, you know, that works. So it's like, you know, I could be driving along, I'm going to go home and get lunch, but then I see that billboard and it sounds really good. Like, no, I'm going to go to Wendy's instead, right? I don't know. And maybe I'm, you know, speaking for too many people here, but I can't imagine there's a non-believer, right? So, and when I say non-believer, I mean somebody that's not a Christian, okay? Even like somebody that's opposed to Christianity, I cannot imagine that they're driving along thinking to themselves, I'm never going to church, you know, blah, 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 it's stupid, yeah, church, blah, God doesn't exist, they're all angry at the world, you know, just listening to angry music or something like that. And then they see a billboard that says, come to church, and they're like, you know what, I'm going to come to church. Like, I can't imagine anybody does that. So I'm just going to assume here that even if they claim, even if whatever church's, you know, media team is saying, let's put up billboards, even if they claim we're doing this to invite non-believers to church, they know deep down that non-believers aren't going to come to church because they see a billboard. All right? Like, deep down, no one's going to be like, maybe, perhaps I will come to church this Sunday because they saw a billboard. People aren't going to do that, right? Non-believers are not. So the only other option then is you are catering to people who already go to church, right? And that's the other thing with, I feel like, church nowadays, with this billboard Christianity that we have going on in America, is so much of what we do in church is not necessarily geared towards preaching the gospel. It isn't even necessarily geared towards, non-believers that do come in, all right? It's not geared towards, you know, building up the Christian community, you know, those who already are believers. It's not really geared towards all that. It's really just geared towards getting other Christians to come to your church instead of the church down the street, right? So it's like, come to our church, we're more conservative, or come to our church, we're more liberal, or come to our church, we have better coffee, or come to our church, we have a better worship band. Or so it's like, it's all like, could you again imagine a non-believer, you know, like that, like who's never been to church before in their life? They're not gonna like be comparing your worship with someone else's worship. Like, they're not gonna be doing that. They're not gonna be like, they have no idea what is theologically liberal and what's theologically conservative. They don't know that. Right? So we're not aiming our advertising purposes towards them. We're really at the heart of it. We're just trying to get other Christians to come to our church instead of another church, right? Because we're aware that as an American Christian culture, we shop around for churches all the time, right? And we leave church at the drop of a hat because we're like, I don't like this, you know? And here I am, you know, saying this as the guy that's, you know, not actively involved in the church ministry right now, which, you know, I would, you know, challenge you to give me all the reasons why you're not going to church, and then I'll give you mine, and I would, you know, assume that I've got, you know, a bit of a better excuse. But anyways, it's not about that. The whole idea is we understand, as a church culture in America, that Christians leave churches all of the time, right? That's why we plant new churches in town. I guarantee that people that come to a town that already has 100 churches, they're not planting a new church so that they can reach the lost. They're planting a new church so that they can be another option. Like, I mean, Taco Bell doesn't put in a new Taco Bell location because they're like, we want to expose people to the beauty and the delicious nature of Taco Bell for the very first time. No, they're doing it because they know that there's people on that side of town that don't want to have to drive all the way from the other side of town to come to Taco Bell. So they just make it more convenient for them. That's what we do so often when we plant churches, or when we plan out church ministry strategy. When we plan that stuff out, we're not really doing, and I say this as somebody that's been on the inside of church ministry and has done years of church ministry, and I've seen it. Like, I've never led a church, but I've been led by pastors who are doing this. It's all about, how do we keep the people in our church from ever leaving, all right? And then how do we convince people on the other, or, you know, the other side of town, like, you should come to our church instead of that church because our worship is better, our coffee is better, our pastors are trendier, our building is more accommodating, whatever the case. So it's just, and this is, I mean, that's this whole idea of billboard Christianity. That's where this is all coming from. We've got such a weird culture of church right now. And I might just be speaking for my own hometown, but I've done ministry in different towns, in different states. And I just, from a lot of what I see out there, this isn't just where I'm at. This is just, it's everywhere, man. Like, you know, as a church, we're in this weird spot where we think we know how to relate to the world, but we don't. We're weird and we're awkward about so many things, and we're really more shut off towards talking about things than we think we are. And then we have these weird strategies for church and ministry and advertising and all this stuff that we claim is to preach the gospel, and we claim it's to reach out to the lost and all these things, but really it's not. Really, it's just to build up our own church. It's to appeal to people that are already Christians. that are already going to be coming to church anyways. And it's just, you know, we do this so that we the church can make more money, and whoever, you know, the pastor is at, up at the top can continue making money and continue, you know, living the life they want to live. And, you know, and it's just, it's a bizarre thing, man. It's a really, really weird thing. Now, I should give a disclaimer here. You know, this, I'm ranting and raving about, you know, just this weird state of Christianity that we're in right now, in the American church. And you know, a lot of this just stems, like, my wife and I talk about this a lot because we're in this weird spot of rediscovering, like, what is church actually supposed to look like? Because a lot, so much of what we see, it's just not it, man. It's just not it. This is not what this is supposed to be. And we talk about this a lot, and that's where a lot of this is stemming from. And I've admitted a lot of this is stemming from hurt that's been inflicted on, you know, my family and I a lot in the, you know, the last 10, 15 years. And I should say, however, that both my wife and I have admitted, like, there's got to be, we know that there are churches out there that aren't doing this, all right? I'm painting with a broad stroke here, but we know that there are churches out there that aren't doing this. You know, I had a good conversation with my friend Dan the other day too, and, you know, I was kind of just venting some of my frustration. I was like, Dan, I just don't know that a church like that, like, that's not like this exists out there. And you know what he said was great, or I was like, I don't know if a pastor that isn't like this exists anywhere out there. And I know they do, and I know some that do exist like that, or that aren't like that. I do know pastors that are not narcissistic, they're not manipulative, they're not tyrannical, they're not just surrounding themselves with yes men. They really do care about the flock that's at their church. They care about the gospel, they care about preaching the truth, they do care about those things. I've got some great, and even pastors in this town that are like that. My good friend Paul, who's a pastor in this town that I know listens to this podcast, you know, Paul is, he's a great guy, and he, you know, he really is a great example of a genuine pastor that really does care. And there's others too, you know, so it's not just that, but, there are churches out there. I gotta believe that there are, right? I gotta believe that there are pastors out there that aren't like this, that there are churches out there that aren't like this, that there are, you know, places out there that aren't spending thousands of dollars on weird advertising, you know, or anything like that. So, you know, I do believe that they've got to be out there. And even just, I think the pastors and the churches that do these things, you know, the weird advertising, the weird language, the weird, like, you know, disconnect from what the real world is actually like, I don't think they mean to do that. Honestly, I just think that church in America has been like this for so long, we don't know any other way of doing it. Like, it's just like, you know, what, you know, in the 90s and the early 2000s, when, like, there we kind of had this shift in church with, like, Rick Warren, you know, and Saddleback Church, and, you know, a lot of these other churches that kind of shifted their thinking, you know, and tried to look at what was going on in the world and tried to imitate some of that in the church so that it was more relatable. Like, I get that. And I think, you know, that's a noble cause, and we need to be able to, you know, relate to the world for sure. But I think it's almost like we've taken that idea and created another subculture. So now we're not really like the world. We're not as relatable to the world as we think we are. Like, pastors be like, well, I'm going to wear tennis shoes on stage, and that's going to make me more relatable. But it doesn't. Like, it just doesn't. Like, people don't care. Like, people, like, you may be wearing shoes on stage while you preach, but nobody cares about the, like, non-believers don't care about what you're wearing. Preaching in and of itself is a foreign concept to them. That's what's weird to them. Like, the things we talk about as Christians, our faith, like, the theology of our faith, that's the stuff that's weird. It's not what, you know, it's, so it's just, that's what is weird and foreign to non-believers. Not dressing up, like, whatever, who cares? But so we've created this weird subculture where, like, we started to try to be more relatable to the world, but it's like we took a couple of facets of it, you know, the lights and the smoke and the coffee and the, you know, the trendy clothes, and we've taken, you know, talking about sex and drinking craft beers, and we're like, oh, look, now we're normal, like, we're like the world, we're relatable, but we're just not. We've, you know, we're relatable to other Christians that want to be like that, but we're not really relatable to the world, and we don't really have a pulse on what the world is actually looking for and what the world is actually like. I think it's because, like, a lot of pastors just don't know any better. Like, I didn't know any better. That was, you know, that was my mentality for years and years in church ministry. And I look back and, you know, I know that there was some fruit in a lot of what my wife and I were doing, but there is just a lot of wasted time, man. And a lot of people who were burned along the way and just a lot of damage done along the way. And I'm starting to realize that now. Maybe we need to have another podcast, you know, too. Maybe the next podcast, you know, this one has been a lot of like negative, like assessing the problem. But maybe the next podcast needs to be, you know, like, what can we do differently? And, you know, send in your thoughts. You know, maybe you totally did. Maybe you think I'm off my rocker. Maybe you've got some ideas for how this can be better. I would love to hear that. I don't want to just be somebody that's like, this is wrong. Yeah, that's just the way that it is. I don't know what to do about it. Like, I want to, you know, come up with some ideas for what we can do differently. And maybe, you know, the next podcast will, the next podcast episode will be about that. You know, how can we do things better? You know, how can we, so send me an email, nate@awordaboutgod.com. Send me a direct message on Instagram, @awordaboutgodofficial is where you can find us on Instagram. Share the podcast with your friends and family. Give me your feedback. Let me know what you think. I appreciate you guys listening, like I said. Next time, maybe we'll talk about some solutions, how we can make things better together and move forward and not just stay in this weird place that we are with American Christianity. But yeah, bless you guys, and we'll talk to you next time.